Hey, podcast listeners. Thanks for streaming today's podcast from Pathway to Victory. Pathway to Victory is a nonprofit ministry featuring the Bible teaching of Dr. Robert Jeffress. Our mission is to pierce the darkness with the light of God's Word through the most effective media available, like this podcast. To support Pathway to Victory, go to ptv.org/donate or follow the link in our show notes. Now, here's today's podcast from Pathway to Victory.
Hi, this is Robert Jeffress, and I'm glad to study God's Word with you every day on this Bible teaching program. On today's edition of Pathway to Victory.
You see, ladies and gentlemen, if you accept that there are any other pathways that lead to God, then Jesus' agonizing death and separation from God was a horrific mistake. The whole doctrine of the atonement collapses if we believe there is more than one way to God.
Welcome to Pathway to Victory with author and pastor Dr. Robert Jeffress. Nearly 2,000 years ago, Jesus died on a cross and rose again to save us from our sins. Yet some people believe they should have the freedom to get into heaven whatever way they want. Today on Pathway to Victory, Dr. Robert Jeffress explains how to share the exclusivity of Christ in a society that values tolerance. Now, here's our Bible teacher to introduce today's message. Dr. Jeffress?
Thanks, David. And just before we get started with today's message, I'm pleased to say that so many of our radio friends from across the country have made plans to vacation with us this coming June. Excitement is building for the Pathway to Victory cruise to Alaska. The dates are June 15th through 22nd. The beauty and grandeur of Alaska are unparalleled. When you stand out on the deck and witness God's majestic handiwork, it's like sailing into a masterpiece painting. And we'd love to have you join us for 1 week of spiritual and physical refreshment. Now, time is running out to reserve your cabin, so please go online very soon to make arrangements at ptv.org. Well, as a follower of Jesus Christ, I'm sure you've encountered people who believe your biblical convictions are intolerant. In fact, they're convinced your exclusive views of the gospel are actually harmful. Well, for that reason and more, I've written a brand new devotional book that's based on my best-selling book, Not All Roads Lead to Heaven. If you believe you already have a copy of this new devotional, you don't. This devotional is hot off the printing presses. By reading this exclusive book, you'll become equipped to represent the true gospel with compassion and grace. It's the most loving thing we can do for people around us. When you give a generous gift today, I'm going to send you a brand new copy of my devotional book, 100 Daily Readings About Our Only Hope for Eternal Life. I'll say more about my devotional book later in today's program, but right now, let's continue our study about sharing an exclusive Jesus in an inclusive world.
The Bible teaches only those who exercise faith in Christ will be saved. Well, you may wonder, what difference does it really make? As long as I trust in Jesus as my Savior, does it really matter if there are different roads up the same mountain that lead to God? Why should I get all hot and bothered if, in fact, God saves other people in other ways except through faith in Jesus Christ? Well, today I'm going to answer that question, because the fact is, if we surrender this doctrine of the exclusivity of Jesus for salvation, then there are a number of other key beliefs that we have to surrender as well. Have you ever seen a long row of dominoes, one lined up right after another? And you know what happens if you topple that first domino in the long line? Then other dominoes begin to fall. The next one falls, and the next one falls. It's the same with the exclusivity of Jesus for salvation. Let's imagine that is the first domino, a belief that Jesus is the only way to be saved. Behind that first domino, there are six other beliefs that are toppled if that first domino is surrendered. Let me show you what they are. First of all, if we believe that there are more than one way to be saved, the first domino that falls behind that is the nature of truth itself. Relativism is the belief that all truth is conditioned by time and culture. A good way to remember relativism is with this simple dictum that says, everything is right sometimes, and nothing is right every time. That embracing of relativism explains why so many Christians today believe in same-sex marriage, regardless of what the Bible says. They practice adultery. They engage in unethical behavior. They bought into this idea of relativism that, well, you can't say something is right for everybody all the time. All truth is relative. The second doctrine we give up is the inspiration of the Bible. You know, since the beginning of time, Satan has tried to cause us to question whether or not God's word can truly be trusted. And that same attack continues today. Can you really trust what the Word of God says? If we surrender the issue of exclusivity, it diminishes even further the trustworthiness of the Bible itself. The third doctrine we surrender, if we surrender the doctrine of exclusivity, is the deity of Jesus Christ. Listen to me. If there are many ways to heaven, then Jesus Christ is not the Son of God. You say, well, how do you come to a conclusion like that? Jesus said he's the only way to heaven, and it has to be through personal faith in him. Now, stay with me on this. If Jesus is wrong about this, there are only two reasons he could be wrong about it. First of all, he was honestly mistaken. Now, if Jesus was honestly mistaken, that would mean that he didn't know what he was talking about, which means he's not the omniscient, all-knowing God. Now, the only other reason Jesus could have been wrong about it is he was intentionally misleading us. So if he was intentionally misleading us, then he couldn't be the Son of God either, could he? Because he had a character flaw, a serious character flaw. So that's why I say, if Jesus was wrong about his exclusivity for salvation, then he cannot be the Son of God. The entire deity of Christ rests on this issue of exclusivity. A fourth doctrine that falls, if we surrender the doctrine of exclusivity, is the necessity of the atonement. That is the sacrificial death of Christ for our sins. Turn over in your Bibles to Luke 22, verse 41. Anytime I take a group to Israel, the highlight of the trip, next to going to the garden tomb where 2,000 years later, the tomb is still empty. The highlight of the trip next to that is going to the Garden of Gethsemane, where Jesus prayed before he was betrayed and crucified the next day. Look at Luke's account of what happened in the garden. And Jesus withdrew from them about a stone's throw, and he knelt down and began to pray, saying, Father, if thou art willing, remove this cup from me. Yet not my will, but thine be done. Now an angel from heaven appeared to him, strengthening him. And being in agony, he was praying very fervently, and his sweat became like drops of blood falling down upon the ground. We've read this passage 100 times. And whenever we read this passage, I think we all have in our mind what that scene must have looked like with Jesus praying to his heavenly Father. And I dare say most of us, when we picture that, we picture Jesus kneeling beside this big rock with his hands folded, looking up into heaven, striking that ministerial pose. We think that because we've seen pictures that way, haven't we? That's not the way it happened. The way I know it's not the way it's happened is because of Mark's account of what happened in Gethsemane. Mark 14:33 says, Jesus was so distressed and troubled that as he was walking through Gethsemane, he collapsed and he began to cry out to God to deliver him from the horrible experience that was before him. And the original language says that he dropped to his knees, he collapsed and cried out to God. And then he picked himself up and he collapsed again and cried out to God. And he picked himself up and collapsed again, crying out to God. He was in agony, crying out to his heavenly Father, Father, if there is any way, let this experience pass from me. What caused Jesus to cry out in distress? Yes, he was human. He didn't want to go through the horrific experience of crucifixion, the most cruel form of death man has ever invented. We understand that, but there was something even worse Jesus was dreading, and that is bearing the sins of the world, bearing your sins and my sins. You see, since eternity past, Jesus had enjoyed nothing but perfect unity with his heavenly Father. There had not been a ray of sunlight between the two. God the Father, God the Son. Jesus enjoyed that time of perfect fellowship with his Father, but he knew when he bore the sins of the world, he would experience a horror he had never experienced before, a separation from his heavenly Father. A separation that the next day would cause him to cry out, my God, why have you forsaken me? And Jesus, knowing what lay ahead of him, begged, cried out to God, God, if there is any way at all, spare me from this experience. But heaven was silent. God said nothing because there was no other way. The cross of Jesus Christ, that horrific experience of being separated from God, of experiencing hell for us so that we could have heaven, that was not just a way to God. It was the only way to God. Now stay with me on this. If the universalists are right and everybody's going to heaven eventually, then the death of Jesus Christ was completely unnecessary. If the inclusivists are right, and everybody's going to go to heaven regardless of what they believe, religious people are going to be in heaven, then the death of Christ was unimportant. You see, ladies and gentlemen, if you accept that there are any other pathways that lead to God, then Jesus' agonizing death and separation from God was a horrific mistake. The whole doctrine of the atonement collapses if we believe there is more than one way to God. God made a tremendous mistake in sending his Son to die if there is another way to himself. Well, Pastor, what is it that the death of Christ accomplished? Exactly what happened on that cross? In 1 John 2:2, John, who was there and witnessed the experience years later, wrote, he, Jesus himself, is the propitiation for our sins. Maybe you're not familiar with that word, propitiation. It's a word that simply means appeasement, satisfaction. Jesus is the satisfaction for our sins. You see, one thing all religions have in common is all religions say there is some kind of break between God and us, a break that needs to be reconciled. We all need to be reconciled to God. Most every religion in the world says that. The question is, how do you be reconciled? How can you be reconciled to God? Ladies and gentlemen, only Christianity says we are incapable of satisfying the requirements of a holy God. Only God himself can offer an acceptable sacrifice. And that's why 1 John 2:2 says, Jesus himself is the propitiation, the satisfaction for our sins. And when we trust in Christ for our salvation, we're allowing the blood of Jesus Christ in some inexplicable way to cover us and to forgive us of all of our sins. If the exclusivity of Jesus for salvation is not true, then the whole idea of Christ dying for our sins absolutely collapses. The fifth doctrine we have to surrender if we don't believe there is only one way to heaven is the reality of hell. The reality of hell. Now think with me about this. If the universalists are correct and everybody's going to be in heaven eventually, then the population of hell will be what? Zero. Well, maybe, you know, Satan and his angels, we put them down there. But as far as humans, the population is zero. Now, if the pluralists are correct, and only religious people are going to be in heaven, still, you're only going to have a few people in hell, the rapists, the murderers, the drug dealers, but all religious people are going to be in hell. Still, many more people in heaven than in hell. If the inclusivists are right, and the only people who are going to be in heaven are those who haven't actually rejected the gospel of Jesus Christ, and heaven's going to include billions of people around the world who have never heard the gospel, then again, the population of hell is minuscule compared to the population of heaven, right? Now you say, well, what's wrong with that, Pastor? I mean, don't we want the population of heaven to be greater than the population of hell? Why isn't that a good thing? Well, the reason it's not a good thing is because it's a complete contradiction of what Jesus said. Because if the population of heaven is greater than the population of hell, if more people are going to be in heaven than are going to be in hell, guess what? Nobody's going to be in heaven or hell because it's all imaginary because Jesus was a liar and didn't know what he was talking about. Because listen to what Jesus said about the population of hell compared to the population of heaven. Matthew 7, 13 and 14. Enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and there are many who enter by it. But the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life, and there are few who find it. The way to heaven is narrow, it is small. If heaven is going to have more people in it than hell, then Jesus should have revised his words. He should have said, enter through the wide gate. For the gate is narrow and the way is small or non-existent that leads to destruction, and there are few who enter through it. But the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to life, and most everyone, if not everybody, will find it. But that's not what Jesus said, is he? The reality of hell has to be surrendered if the exclusivity of Christ is surrendered. Finally, if there is more than one way to God other than faith in Christ, we have to give up on evangelism and missions. Remember Christ's final words to his disciples before he ascended into heaven? He said, go into all the world and make disciples. Now, if I had been in the group that day and I knew there was more than one way to heaven other than faith in Christ, I would have respectfully raised my hand and said, why? I mean, why bother to go into all of the world if everybody's going to heaven anyway? I mean, why go to the trouble of going to some distant land or even walking across to share the gospel with a neighbor if everybody's going to be in heaven anyway? And if the inclusivists are right and that all religions are equally valid, why would I risk offending a friend who's a Hindu or a coworker who's Muslim, family member who's Jewish? Why would I risk offending them by saying their religion is wrong if, in fact, their religion is just as good as my religion in getting to heaven? And why in the world would you sacrifice to send people around the world to preach the gospel to those who have never heard the gospel if, in fact, they're okay anyway? In fact, I could make an argument, if they're right, the inclusivists, that the best thing to do is not tell them the gospel, not tell them about Jesus, and give them a chance to reject him because they would go to hell then. Why not just keep them in their ignorance so that they automatically go to heaven like the inclusivists believe? What I'm saying to you, the only motivation we have for sharing Jesus with other people, the only motivation we have is that he is not just one way, he is the only way to heaven. Many years ago, I was on an airplane going from Dallas to Seattle, and I was sitting next to this guy, and we were engaging in the pre-flight chit-chat that goes on, and something inside of me said, Robert, you need to share the gospel with this guy. And so, you know, sensing that from God, I decided to kind of be careful about what I said to him, because his first question to me was, what do you do for a living? Now, if I want to shut down the conversation right then, all I have to do is say Southern Baptist preacher. And trust me, that is a conversation stopper. They don't bother me the rest of the flight. But something said to me, I needed to witness to this guy. So when he asked me what I did for a living, I said, well, I'm a writer. He said, oh. In fact, and I said, in fact, I'm on the way to do an interview for a new book I have. He said, oh, what kind of books do you write? And I said, well, I write Christian books. He said, well, that's very interesting. He said, because I used to be a Christian, but I gave it up. Well, that was a conversation starter. So I said, well, what made you turn away from the Christian faith? And this is what he said. He said, I could no longer accept a religion that said there is only one way to heaven. I just can't embrace a religion that is that intolerant. I can't worship a God who would send people to hell forever and ever because they simply believed the wrong things about Jesus. Well, we were winging our way to Seattle, and so I just asked God for help in knowing what to say to him. And I said, Sir, just imagine for a moment that this airplane were to crash. Suddenly, the flight attendant gave me a nasty look, and I lowered my voice from preacher volume to, you know, normal. I said, sir, imagine for just a moment that this airplane were to crash. The flames were going up. The lights were off. The cabin was filling with smoke. And that flight attendant over there stood at the front of the plane, waving a flashlight and said, follow me. There's only one way out of this plane. Would you accuse her of being intolerant because she insisted there's only one way out of the plane and she didn't offer you other alternatives? Would you say she's being hateful to you for trying to get you to follow her out of the burning aircraft? Of course not. The only reason she would say to you that there is one way out of this plane is if, in fact, there was only one way out of the plane. And the only reason she would try to get you to follow her is because she cared about you and was concerned about your safety. And I said, you know, when we say there is only one way to God, we're not being unloving and intolerant. We're saying that because that's what Jesus said. And he says it because, in fact, it is true. There are not many ways to God. There is only one way to God, and that is through faith in Christ. I wish I could say that at that moment I said, would you bow your head with me? And I begin to hum just as I am in the background, and he prayed to receive Christ as Savior. Perhaps if I had been Billy Graham, that would have happened, but it didn't happen. But I'll tell you what he did say to me. He said, thank you for sharing that. I've never thought of it that way before. And I promise you, Pastor, I'll seriously consider what you just said. Ladies and gentlemen, you and I have been called to be ambassadors for Christ. We are God's messenger. And it's time for us to reclaim the gospel from those who would twist it and pervert it into a message of hate and instead present it as God intended, as a message of love. The most loving thing we can do is to share with somebody. There aren't many ways to God. Every other way is a dead end that leads to eternal separation. There are not many ways to God. There is one way to God through Jesus. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by me.
Whether you have questions that perplex you or you're simply trying to explain these issues to a friend or colleague, I'm eager to provide my brand new devotional book on this topic. Like the teaching series, my devotional book is also titled, Not All Roads Lead to Heaven. With 100 daily readings, I explain how you can share the exclusivity of Christ in a compassionate and compelling way. Plus, I equip you to stand strong in a culture that views your biblical convictions as narrow and even dangerous. Because of the confusion on the exclusivity of the gospel, this may be the most important devotional I've ever written. Every page will equip you with the wisdom, reasoning, and illustrations you need to defend your faith with boldness and love. And when you give a generous gift to Pathway to Victory, I'm prepared to send you a copy of the devotional, Not All Roads Lead to Heaven. Let me add an exciting update. Pathway to Victory is in a season of tremendous growth right now, combined with doors that are wide open for expanded influence. The only thing holding us back from reaching even more people is the financial capacity to do so. If you're drawing strength and spiritual direction from Pathway to Victory, let me encourage you to become a Pathway partner. In this relationship in which you give a monthly gift, your partnership has a compounding influence on the expansion of Pathway to Victory. Plus, you become a reliable source of income that allows us to wisely plan for the future. Setting up your relationship as a Pathway partner is simple when you go online to ptv.org. David?
Thanks, Dr. Jeffress. When you give a generous gift to support the ministry of Pathway to Victory, you're invited to request a copy of the brand new devotional, Not All Roads Lead to Heaven, 100 daily readings about our only hope for eternal life. To request your copy, call 866-999-2965 or go online to ptv.org. Now, when your gift is $100 or more, we'll also send you both the CD and DVD sets for the Not All Roads Lead to Heaven teaching series, along with a 10-week group or personal study guide. Plus, you'll receive the original best-selling book, Not All Roads Lead to Heaven. To request this complete package of resources, call 866-999-2965 or go to petv.org. You could also send your request by mail. Just write to P.O. Box 223-609, Dallas, Texas, 75222. Again, that's P.O. Box 223-609, Dallas, Texas, 75222. I'm David J. Mullins. Is the God of the New Testament more loving and forgiving than the God of the Old Testament? Discover why God's standard never changes in a message called The Old Way Was One Way. That's Tuesday on Pathway to Victory. Pathway to Victory with Dr. Robert Jeffress comes from the pulpit of the First Baptist Church of Dallas, Texas. The Pathway to Victory cruise to Alaska with Dr. Robert Jeffress sets sail from Vancouver, British Columbia on June 15, 2024.
Join me along with musical artists Rebecca St. James and Michael O'Brien and comedian Dennis Swanberg for a vacation you'll never forget. I promise you will come back spiritually, physically, and emotionally refreshed.
Book your spot on the 7-day Pathway to Victory cruise to Alaska at ptv.org. You made it to the end of today's podcast from Pathway to Victory, and we're so glad you're here. Pathway to Victory relies on the generosity of loyal listeners like you to make this podcast possible. One of the most impactful ways you can give is by becoming a Pathway Partner. Your monthly gift will empower Pathway to Victory to share the gospel of Jesus Christ and help others become rooted more firmly in His Word. To become a Pathway Partner, go to ptv.org/donate or follow the link in our show notes. We hope you've been blessed by today's podcast from Pathway to Victory.